From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. Thomas Jefferson once wrote, "The whole art of government consists in the art of being honest." Yeah, maybe back when art was mostly directed at depicting actual things. Now art, or at least the art of government, is more like abstract expressionism. The pictures that politicians paint are intended to mean whatever you, the voter, wants them to mean. In 2017, honesty is apparently passé. Except, perhaps, in congressional hearings, and you are deposed FBI Director James Comey talking about the manner of your firing.
The administration then chose to defame me, and more importantly, the FBI, by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple.
Or testifying about your awkward private sit-downs with Donald Trump.
I was honestly concerned that he might lie about the nature of our meeting, and so I thought it really important to document. That combination of things I'd never experienced before, but it led me to believe I got to write it down, and I got to write it down in a very detailed way.
I can definitively say the president's not a liar.
Principal Deputy White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
It's frankly insulting that that question would be asked.
Perhaps more insulting to the nation's intelligence is that the question still needs to be asked. But in a headline-grabbing bit of honesty, Comey readily admitted that in order to supply some representational art to balance the president's more phantasmal depictions, he shared his meeting memos with a friend.
The president tweeted on Friday, after I got fired, that I better hope there's not tapes. I woke up in the middle of the night on Monday night, because it didn't dawn on me originally, that there might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel. And so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
In an era when official assertions command less authority than furtive ones, Comey resorted to a leak. Unconscionable, said Mark Kasowitz, the president's personal lawyer.
It is overwhelmingly clear that there have been and continue to be those in government who are actively attempting to undermine this administration with selective and illegal leaks of classified information and privileged communications. Mr. Comey has now admitted that he is one of these leakers.
For months now, so much of what we know about this administration, from the democratically disturbing to the gleefully humiliating, has come courtesy of an army of leakers.
The AP has reported that President Trump threatened to invade Mexico in a conversation with the Mexican president.
A draft executive order that leaked out, it suggested the U.S. could reopen CIA black site prisons overseas and resume waterboarding.
Sessions, the attorney general, spoke twice with Russian ambassador during Trump's presidential campaign.
The Washington Post reporting that President Trump disclosed highly classified information to the Russians.
And after each leak, a familiar refrain from the administration and the GOP.
We're going to find the leakers. They're going to pay a big price for leaking.
This has got to end, and I probably will take some convictions to put an end to it.
Probably ought to put some handcuffs on them and put them in jail.
This week, it seemed the hammer had finally fallen on a 25-year-old NSA contractor by the remarkable name of Reality Lee Winner. Her arrest for leaking documents to The Intercept was announced just 1 hour after the investigative site published a top-secret NSA document, one that detailed alleged attempts by Russian spies to hack individuals connected to our voting infrastructure. According to the government, Reality Winner was found out thanks to giant breadcrumbs left by The Intercept.
The document had been creased. The government could see that and therefore could surmise it had been mailed.
Barton Gellman was a longtime investigative reporter with The Washington Post and one of the journalists Edward Snowden leaked to. He's now a senior fellow with the Century Foundation.
More conclusively, Modern printers often have what's known as fingerprinting, tiny, almost invisible dots that identify the printer, the computer from which it was printed, and the date and time. Those things were easily readable by the forensics folks over at NSA. But it doesn't have to be nearly that high tech to give away the game. Many times, a sensitive document will go out with small watermarks or trivial-looking piece of formatting, a word change, a numbering change, sometimes even a missing page, so that when the government wants to do a leak investigation, it knows which copy the reporter has if the reporter shares the whole document.
So in the course of authenticating the documents, The Intercept apparently also informed an intelligence source that the documents arrived in an envelope that was mailed from Augusta, Georgia. How was this wrong, Bart?
So once you say you've got a printout, you've told them quite a lot. The markings of the document showed that it was accessible by people in the NSA, other U.S. intelligence agencies, and intelligence partners in Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and the U.K. Mm-hmm. So the universe of people who could have seen it or given it to the Intercept was quite large. It turns out that only 6 people in that whole universe printed it. And so knowing that it was printed, knowing that it was mailed, and then knowing where it was mailed from are almost checkmate for the source at that point.
So when you're trying to validate the document, don't show the document. Don't talk about how you got the documents or where it came from. Don't even characterize the document. Limit the validation to the contents of the document.
That is generally what I'm saying. Now, it's not possible for every reporter to be a communication security expert. What you need to have is a recognition. I have just crossed a line. I'm arriving at a place where I need to pause and I need to consult an expert. The puzzling thing here is that The Intercept has unusually strong bench of expertise on this very subject. It has 2 world-class experts on staff. What's baffling is that none of the 4 reporters or the editors involved in this story stopped and said, we better talk to those people about how do we protect this source.
And let's face it, reality winner, if she is in fact the leaker, didn't exactly follow the best leaking practices. I mean, she didn't even follow The Intercept's own advice. On their site, they specifically warn against contacting them online in any way, especially from work, which she did. Is there a way to leak safely from an agency like the NSA nowadays?
There's no such thing as a perfectly safe decision to disclose something that a powerful and well-resourced employer doesn't want you to disclose. A person in that position could have, for example, retyped the information, or The Intercept could have done that rather than send a printout.
Mm-hmm.
Could have mailed it from a place very far from home, and would have scrupulously avoided any open contact with the news organization in advance or afterward. In an unrelated matter, she had connected herself to The Intercept. She asked for a transcript of a podcast some months ago.
The Intercept says that it didn't even know who the source was. If your source is truly anonymous, is it difficult to know how best to protect them?
It's definitely harder when you don't know who it is, how the person had access to the material. That's what should light up a bulb for you that says, there are clues here that might not be meaningful to me, but could be very meaningful to investigators. It would not have been obvious to me from a standing start that there would be so many people who could see the document, but so few who printed it.
Mm-hmm.
But just out of caution, I'm very parsimonious with facts when I give them to the government. What I want to do is I want to say, I have a document with this title and this date, which says the following things. And these are the things I'm thinking about printing. Let's talk about these.
You've noted that it seemed weird that The Intercept would make what seemed to be kind of rookie mistakes. The Intercept, in its statement on the matter, suggests that we should be critical of the government's version of how Reality Winner was apprehended, that what we know so far might not be the whole story.
Look, government affidavits for arrest warrants and charging documents are the government's version of events. You're going to want to see the evidence tested in court before you draw conclusions. And I sympathize that The Intercept can't talk about this right now. they may have something important to say about the way they handled the source or the way that the source behaved or the way the government behaved, and they're not able to say it for legal reasons now because anything they say could only do further harm to their source.
But you believe that mistakes were made by The Intercept. They did post the article on their website, so anyone could see it was a printout.
I believe The Intercept made a series of very bad mistakes that doomed their source that they didn't have to make. The Intercept has real expertise at protecting communication security. I am certain that the reporters involved did not consult those experts because there's no chance that those experts would have approved the steps they took. And I have no explanation for that. I don't know how it happened.
A lot of people worry that this episode marks the first step in the Trump administration's promised crackdown on leakers and that it will scare off the potential sources on which journalists and the public increasingly must depend for information. Do you have an opinion?
I don't see any evidence in terms of action as yet that the Trump administration is crossing new lines. There have been leak investigations for as long as I've been a reporter. And that's not especially surprising. Under George W. Bush and then under Obama, there was the quite unhealthy innovation, I think, of charging news sources with espionage as if telling something to a reporter for purposes of a public report is the same thing as telling a hostile foreign power for purposes of harming the United States. If it is espionage to tell your own fellow citizens something because by doing so, you're also telling other countries, then we've lost the substantial meaning of espionage completely.
Bart, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Barton Gellman is an investigative reporter for The Washington Post and a senior fellow with the Century Foundation. The Intercept declined our invitation for an interview.
Coming up, a debate over when it makes sense for journalists to make unsavory deals for access.
This is On the Media.